This is Pretty Much Pop, a culture podcast. A podcast that evolved from men? Today we're discussing the Planet of the Apes franchise. This started in 1968. There are now a crapload of films, including the one that we all bothered to watch, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I'm Mark Lintonmeyer, technically a chimpanzee, but spiritually an orangutan.
I'm Al Baker, and I hate every ape I see, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee.
Anyone get that reference?
Nice.
You have a lovely voice, man. That's a lovely voice.
You do. I'm Sarah Lynn Bruck, and as Shakespeare said in Twelfth Night, be not afraid of apeness. Some are born apes, some achieve apeness, and others have apeness thrust upon them.
Wow. My name is Lawrence Ware, coming to you from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and the original Planet of the Apes. Is it racist? I'm not sure. We will discuss.
It is an ongoing thing. It's certainly not necessarily that it is racist, but like dealing with racism,
yeah,
in that these are literal races.
Mm-hmm.
Race, as we have discussed on the Partially Examined Life, is probably a social fiction. And there's not, you know, there's not sharp distinctions, but between ape and man, those are okay. Those are not socially constructed distinctions.
Yes, I think that a lot of the discussion about that original film has to do with the way that the apes are portrayed, and it feels like the apes are portrayed to kind of mimic blackness in some way, even though I'm not sure that's true. But I will say it was a big point of contention in the black community for many years that they did not like that original film because they thought that they were making fun of black people. So make of that what you will.
Hmm. I didn't know that the first one was about race, but weren't the initial sequels?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
About race?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's why, the gorillas. They're warlike by nature, but the chimpanzees, they're mellow. They're demonstrating for peace, peace, peace. We want peace. And the orangutans, they're either wise or they're religious zealots, depending on sort of which part of the franchise you're looking into.
The later original movies. And can we talk about how crazy those original movies, like the first movie is pretty good, right? It's pretty good. But
yes.
Then after
it's a Twilight Zone episode, yeah, pretty much. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And wasn't Rod Serling, I think, involved in some way in the making of that original film? I believe he was. Anyway, the original film, pretty good. You know, solid sci-fi construct. It gets crazy in those subsequent films. Like the Earth is destroyed, maybe. And then the second film essentially does what the first film does with another character. Those original films are really strange. And I'm shocked that how many came out? Like four or five of them? Like, I'm shocked that they kept cranking those out.
Five in the original, plus then a whole season of a TV series that was apparently fairly popular at the time.
Really?
But now you just can't get it. I tried to watch it a little bit on YouTube, and it was unwatchable to me. But, it's mostly aimed at kids, I guess.
Hmm.
Plus a cartoon. I don't know. I didn't experience that. But this was such a big deal that I think we sort of have to separate. I mean, the reason that people are still making these now is because the first one was such a phenomenon that it was, you know, critically and a huge popular success. And so those original films, particularly the second one, are just... It's always funny to see how this sequelization... I don't even know how much of a thing... This was before this, you know, of course,
yeah.
By the 80s, it was like, oh, every good film is going to have a terrible, terrible sequel. But like, was that norm in 1968, 69? I'm not sure, but they sure pushed that second one out beneath the Planet of the Apes really quickly with like just implausible. Like, as you said, let's get another white astronaut character somehow make exactly the same journey through time,
right.
Even though the first one did not make it sound like it's a wormhole. The first one just said, that's the theory of relativity. You go forward. So in other words, nobody's going to be able to reproduce this exactly. And he goes through the wormhole, ends up at exactly the same ape village. So he can see a recast Cornelius and his old buddies there and have the same woman fall for him. And then,
it's really bizarre.
Luckily, the second half of that film, I think, redeems it because it's so silly where they introduce, oh, actually there are humans that can speak and in fact can read your mind that have been underground mutants the whole time. Yeah. And we're going to, as you said, Lawrence, blow the world up. So that is a, I don't mind spoiling it.
No one's going to watch those.
You probably don't want to sit through it.
No one's going to watch those. I will say this. Rewatching that original very first film, the 1968 film, I was kind of shocked that it was as popular as it was because it's very contemplative. Like it's very much a sci-fi, a Twilight Zone episode extended, right? So I can see why the critics would love it. I'm very shocked that it was as popular as it was. But those later films, like, they're not even worth watching. Those later films are really, really bad. And I'm shocked they kept making them out. And then, of course, there was the 2001 Tim Burton remake that was not well received. And then they came back with the trilogy, which I think was really, really good. That trilogy that they came out with in the 2000s, 2010s, directed by Matt Reeves, is really, really good. So good, in fact, that now Matt Reeves is off making Batman films. That's how well received those films were. They were really, really well received.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess this is the beginning of a new trilogy.
By the end of this film, it is clearly the beginning of a new trilogy. I'm sorry, go ahead, Sarah.
No, you're right. I think you're right. I think they want to make like 9 films or something. It's kind of nuts.
But, impossible.
We had seen Kingdom the day before it came out, it officially released, and it's huge action spectacle. And then the next night, we decided to do a screening of the first Planet of the Apes with friends. And I was struck by how slow it was. Like, it just felt like a completely different planet. Let's say
we've watched a lot of really good old movies that I happen to have never seen before on this podcast. And this is one of those. I've never seen the original Planet of the Apes. And I think this is the first time I've been so disappointed by an old movie, or at least like the start of it, because yeah, it is slow, but I don't think it's slow in a way that old movies are slow, because like the pacing is steady and everyone's taking their time developing character and tension and whatever. It is so boring until the apes arrive. And so maybe the most interesting thing I learned from Planet of the Apes is that I do not like Charlton Heston as a screen presence at all. He cannot carry a movie. The monkeys, I'm going to continually call them monkeys because I've been doing it as a joke all week and it's just stuck. But the monkeys are fantastic. And as soon as they arrive, then the whole thing becomes, like Mark said, like a really top tier Twilight Zone episode. But while it's Charlton Heston like rolling around in the mud, it's just so boring.
It does seem like the opening sequences of that are just Charlton Heston showing that his character is an asshole.
Mm.
Like the other two.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
The other two astronauts are sort of responsible, one of whom is black. So they're trying to make
true.
You know, they're trying to really distinguish.
That's true.
This is not that all the apes
and
are
a woman,
you know, anyway.
She didn't make it off the.
And they never mention her again. And Charlton Heston is just like, oh, she would have been great breeding stock.
Let me correct you, because they do talk about her at length in one scene where they make it clear that the only reason that they brought a woman along was for breeding purposes.
Wow.
And yet they only brought one.
1968. Right. Yeah. It's a wild time, man. It was a wild time.
Why not bring Charlton Heston and his harem? if that's the goal.
He didn't think it through. What about that opening monologue? Charlton Heston's opening monologue. I thought, what a strange way to begin this.
I agree.
Movie.
Yeah, if someone found that on a Facebook post, it would raise a flag at the Department of Homeland Security, I'm pretty sure.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm not remembering the opening monologue. Can we just, what is the essence of it?
Maybe I'm misremembering, but isn't it like, oh, you know, humanity's so fucked and we're going to blow ourselves up with nuclear weapons and we don't deserve everything we have.
It's such an awkward info dump, like right at the very beginning. You want to turn off your audience, do it that way.
Well, it's the captain's log, basically.
Yeah, that's what it is. And that's why I'm so shocked this movie was so popular, because the apes make it really, really interesting and intriguing, but the humans are terrible. And I don't know, Al. I mean, Charlton Heston's pretty good in The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
But he was just really bad in that movie. And I never understood it. I never understood why the movie was so
I know.
Bad.
I don't either. I never gotten to him either.
But that at least is a tradition that the new movies have kept up, because through all of the Planet of the Apes movies I've watched, the humans are universally the worst thing about all of them.
Yes, of course. That's the message. Humans are awful.
I do agree.
But they're not even awful in an entertaining way. Like, just to bring up a real low point for me of the series, that remember Tom, what's his name? Draco Malfoy, Tom whatever in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes. Yep.
Being
yep.
made to do a terrible accent, and the way they have him portrayed as a villain, it's so non-threatening, it's pathetic. And then they make him deliver the "get your hands off me, you damn dirty ape" line.
Oh,
and
it's my just God, it's, that was more so hammy. And what's his name from Succession played his dad?
Brian Cox.
I thought, oh my gosh.
But that was a different Brian Cox. Like, that was Brian Cox before Succession. He's very, I don't know, unpleasant. Very unpleasant. Unpolished Brian Cox.
Well, unpleasant in a different way.
Yeah, true. But, like, Brian Cox post-Succession is very, I don't know, like, you know, Dom Rich. Boss. Like, I don't know. It's, you know, he's something. But now, back then, he was ugly.
He has that gravitas.
Yeah. I didn't like him at all.
How did everyone find the series as a whole? Because, like, in brief, original Planet of the Apes, super interesting once the apes showed up. Really glad I watched it, but slightly disappointed overall. All the other movies I saw, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I thought was a genuinely fantastic movie, and almost all of the rest of the films I saw were mostly boring. So what did you guys think?
Yeah. Really?
I have a soft spot for Rise of the Planet of the Apes, just because that was the one that I'm sort of rewatching, but now it seems really silly. Just looking at it again, but the whole thing with John Lithgow as James Franco's dad, putting John Lithgow doing real acting in something, you know, and it really made you feel for the little baby monkey. And oh no, now he's big and he's going to hurt someone, because that's what happens when you try to keep a monkey in your house. Duh. It doesn't matter if he's a smart monkey.
Man, I don't know, Mark. I mean, that movie was really good, man. I mean, it really was. Like, it did what it needed to do. It it's not great. I would say that Dawn is great. Like, I genuinely really would argue that Dawn is great. Rise, it's the rise. It's the beginning of the trilogy. But I think it did a good job of making Caesar compelling. It, you know, James Franco, James Franco, whatever. But it did a really good job of making Caesar compelling. And then it did a good job of showing why the apes made the decisions that they did. I think that movie did what it needed to do. Now, War of the Planet of the Apes, it should not have been called War of the Planet of the Apes, because there's really not a war. It's not as exciting, and it ends like on a little bit of a dud instead of like a triumphant ending. But I will argue to the end of time that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is a legitimately really not great, but a really, really good movie. And I think that the direction by Matt Reeves really does something. Like, he's really good at creating mood. I really enjoyed that trilogy. Now, the original Planet of the Apes, I kind of didn't like it. If I'm being honest, I kind of didn't like it. I really don't understand why this is a movie series that is continuing on, like, even now. I genuinely don't understand what's going on there. But all that said, I really enjoyed that trilogy. I'm really suspicious of what they're going to do with this one, even though it's clear they're going to make more. This movie was a huge success, but we'll see. Sarah, what do you think? What do you think about it?
Well, I do like this most recent trilogy too, and I think it's because of the character of Caesar was just well done. I mean, it was well written. Andy Serkis is a freaking genius as Caesar.
Absolutely agree.
And
yes.
That one of the things, and as you're right, I like Dawn and War so much more. And I think part of it was there was just so much table setting in the first one. The technology wasn't as good, but the technology got really good in Dawn and War. And I felt like it kind of fell off, like in this last one. It just didn't seem, it seemed a little bit more cartoony. And it might be because maybe the writing wasn't as good. I wasn't as connected to the characters as I was. I didn't care as much for the new characters as I did about Caesar. And his whole character arc was just so mind-blowing. The stuff that they put that character through really made me feel for, you know, something that was, again, essentially a, what could have been a cartoon character. And it wasn't that. It was a total success in my eyes. So I'm glad I saw Kingdom. I was entertained by Kingdom, but it was definitely not nearly as good as the first three.
It absolutely is worth repeating that Andy Serkis, with these movies, has made it clear that he is an all-time great Hollywood performer. Like, he's with Gollum, he revolutionized the whole way that these kinds of performances can be done. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Caesar is just a really incredibly affecting and effective performance. And I guess that kind of underscored for me a lot of the other places where the movies didn't quite match up, like James Franco, his whole like vibe. He's so distracting in that first film.
Completely agree. Yeah, I agree with that.
And like, there were things about the first film, you're right, Lawrence, it kind of did what it had to do, but some things I think unnecessarily weakened the story going forward, although in Dawn they did a good job to minimize some of the like dumber things that were set up in Rise of the Planet of the Apes, like the virus. And like, I really didn't like the idea that the evolution of the apes was to do with a man-made virus. I thought that kind of lessened some of the loftier themes, right? I thought that the idea raised by the first Planet of the Apes movie was supposed to be that apes are evolutionarily more than capable of like surpassing humankind as a civilization given the right circumstances. And I didn't like the virus angle. I thought that seemed to undercut that, and that kind of annoyed me. But yeah, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is fantastic. Everything looks incredible, as you said, because you're right, it doesn't look as good in some of the later films. And I think the director can take a lot of credit for that, because the places he chooses to show the apes, in particular action scenes, is like dark scenes in the rain in the forest, and it gives the camera a lot of chance to like show glistening fur moving, and there's not so much light that you can't see some of the like tricky compositing that is a bit too obvious in the later films. So yeah, for me, I mean, Dawn for me is just such a standout success because all of those pieces come together and there's no James Franco distracting the hell out of everybody.
Well, and also all of the close-ups of their faces. It was amazing. My jaw was on the floor when I was just looking at their facial expressions.
The best bit is the monkey meetings. All of the best bits in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes are in the meetings and the political tension between Caesar and, is it Kobu or Koba? And that's such an achievement. You've got political differences between two CGI apes completely holding our attention through this whole movie.
Oh, 100%. And you could also understand where Koba is coming from. Mm. That character had a really rich history. And so, you know, there was a part of me that was like, yeah, I get it. I understand why you're so angry, you know, and that the writing was on point.
And nobody in that movie was evil. Like, everybody was making completely understandable decisions for where they were.
I'm wondering about the evolving appeal purpose of these films, that if the original Twilight Zone-esque thing was playing off of was some sort of fear of being supplanted. And maybe it is a fundamentally racist fear of like, they will replace us. These savages are taking over. And, you know, that was something that was, I think Tim Burton actually gave the modern version of that, because his apes, even though some of them, you know, were your favorite Hollywood actors in ape costumes, like went ape shit a lot. They, you know, they're civilized, but then they would get in your face and get in each other's faces and scream at each other. And I just found something very, I don't know, at least captured the zeitgeist, or was making recognize what the point of the original was. Whereas the new ones, yeah, sure, apes are sometimes scary, especially to the humans, you know, that you could just, an ape that is your size, even a chimp, could just reach out and just crush your head. They're really strong. But it was all so much from the ape point of view that it seems more like, well, we're doing this because we can, because we have such good CGI, and because it's just an interesting type of character that we've never explored before. Not so much because we're playing on this primal fear of, you know, whatever the first movies were playing off of.
But they always had a human who was sympathetic. I mean, most humans are awful. That's the thesis of the whole series. But they would have humans who were sympathetic. And one thing that I really kind of appreciated about this last one is that the human we're in sort of with May, she turned out to be a total asshole. And I kind of like that. I like that turn.
Spoiler alert, but also let's talk about the new one, because I was somewhat confused by this last film. And I want to know, did I miss something in the middle of it? Or was the reveal at the end of, like, there are people underground?
Who can talk.
Yeah, who can talk, who are just there. That was just all there in the last, mm-hmm. to end the big reveal with, what was her name, Nova, turning out to...
Mm-hmm. May. Nova was in War,
oh, sorry,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, Nova was the mute girl.
They right. played on it
yeah.
because it was a stupid continuity thing of like, oh, Nova was in the original one. Let's name this mute girl in War, Nova. Is that the same one grown up? Like, there's no way that's the same one grown up. So they make a joke about it in this link. Oh, we just call them all Nova.
Yeah. Caesar said we just call them all Nova. But yeah, I was like, what's going on in that last movie? What are they setting up?
There's a lot of plot holes, big gaping plot holes in this last movie.
I don't know what they're clearly setting up something. I don't know what they're setting up, but that is for me the weakness of the newest film, is that it's clearly the beginning of something, right? I don't know if it's 9 films, as Sarah has said, which would be absolutely crazy.
That's crazy.
It would be a bad idea. Or is it a new trilogy? I don't know, but it's clear that... So the beginning of the new film was good. The middle kind of lost me, although I really... Was it Proxima Caesar? I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed him. I really
he
liked
was
Proxima
good.
Caesar.
I and liked Rocca.
Kevin Durant,
Rocca, too. I liked him.
Rocca was good. So I liked that. The third act of this film is bonkers to me. Like, it's clearly setting up a new film or setting up a new trilogy while trying to put a cap on what was happening in this film. And it kind of lost me. Like, I didn't love the third act of this film for that precise reason. Like, it's like, commit to making a film or make a TV series. But, like, what this is, like, a really good pilot, and I didn't enjoy it very much.
The biggest thing that I didn't like about this new one was Noah, was the hero. I thought he was so boring.
Really?
He was... I mean, it just felt like this coming of age story that I've seen 100 million times. And after a character like Caesar, I was like, oh, this is disappointing. And then when he meets up with Rocca, I thought Rocca was 100 times more interesting than Noah. And then, spoiler alert, they got rid of Rocca. I was like, oh, we're stuck with them again. And the bitchy girl. I was like, oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah, the whole, I don't know if I can live up to my father's legacy. Oh, in the climactic moment, I do. Was pretty predictable. I mean, how could you not like, I don't know, scenes of things flooding and people climbing from the flooding. I have a soft spot for that. This Titanic-esque. It just seems such a cinematic feat to do water stuff like that. And having, rather than just trying to escape from the water, we're going to try to kill each other. As the water is coming up, it's just a silly action movie thing that I like.
So. Yeah, that was cool and exciting. But this film set up a load of things that I thought were interesting at the beginning. One thing I noticed was we had a woman monkey character with an actual character for the first time, I think, or the first time in the new movies, and that was worth mm-hmm. like worth noting. But then they set up all this, like, the stuff that you said, Mark, about like Caesar, I have to live up to my father's legacy, and then we meet all these the rival ape crew who purport to be Caesar worshippers but seem to have adopted a deviant theology, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Because am I right? They were saying ape stronger together was the only Caesar commandment that they referenced, right? Or did that not ape not kill ape? Was that one of the things? But that seemed to not go anywhere. And then there was the thing right at the end, like just before the twist, where it's decided for the apes that it's not good for them to adopt human technology. They have to forge their own path, but then it turns out that might have been sabotage. So I don't know what the movie was trying to say, but that seemed like something that would have been interesting to have the apes figure out for themselves, right? How much they want to be like humans and how much they want to do their own thing.
Yeah. Well, the human tools were what were, I mean, that's what the evil apes were using, were human tools. Mm. So that was, I mean, that's another, I mean, they're kind of hitting us over the head with the humans are bad. But yeah, the closer we get to humanity, the worse we seem to be.
But then that seemed to undercut its own message, because the people who took, because it wasn't like the apes saw, oh, yes, the legacy of human oppression, that if we use the tools that are the legacy of human oppression, we ourselves shall become oppressive. They just get all the tools blown up so they can't use them. And then it turns out that that was probably an evil plot anyway. So what's the film about?
I'm assuming they're marching us toward Charlton Heston.
Mm. I don't know, because
we're going to get there. We had the whole eventually.
Oh, how did humans not talk anymore? And so we had War on the Planet of the Apes, that like, oh, it's a secondary thing that the virus maybe does, or a, you know, a spin-off of the virus that is creating this thing. And now we're going to undo that. We're going to forget about that, because we now have talking humans back again. It seemed like those humans trying to get their satellite working, like that's exactly what was going on in Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Like that was their whole thing. We need power so we can try to talk to other people. Distracted by, oh no, actually the only humans we care about in War of the Planet of the Apes are, what's his name from Cheers?
Woody Harrelson.
As a psychopath.
Evil Woody Harrelson.
And his great, and the great end of that, so where good. I don't care if I spoil this, but like where all the humans get killed by an avalanche, so we don't have to worry about them anymore. They're their own destruction. I don't know. It seems like they're just trying to undo that, or I'm not sure exactly. Maybe missteps were made in that film.
Well, the ones who are immune to it, they're able to talk, right?
Is anybody immune from the no talking thing, or is it just that it hasn't spread to everybody?
I genuinely don't know. I mean, let's just call it what it is. This movie is a mess. It's a little bit of a mess. Like as far as the story and the plot, like there is no coherent story. And maybe it'll make sense once I've seen all three films. Maybe it'll make sense then. But this film, as a film, if we just look at this film on its own merits, it's a mess. It's all over the place. Like it has some high highs. I think the flooding was cool. I like Proxima Caesar, but as a story overall, it kind of doesn't make sense. It doesn't hold together. It doesn't really build off of what was established by the first trilogy. And here's my fear, Mark. Mm-hmm. I fear this movie may be a step towards the bad films in the original series, because this feels like it's going in that direction. Better direction. I think that Wes Ball, who's the director of this, good director. He did the Maze Runner films. I think those films kind of stand up. They're pretty good films. So it's well directed, but the story feels like it's going down the direction of where that original, or it's at least trying to go down the direction of where the original series went, but like maybe better, but it's not better. I genuinely don't know, but I didn't love this film.
I want to defend the sequels to the original film for a minute.
Go for it, sir.
I mean, first of all, what's been lost in the more realistic CGI is that the monkey faces in the original are just hilarious. Like that you just right. want to see people Agreed. Running around. When we get to the last Agreed. Film and you have Paul Williams, you know, beloved children's musician, entertainer, Muppet friend, Paul Williams as an orangutan in the last movie. Like he was born to wear that costume. He should have had his own spinoff. but I feel like at least it was not like, I'm not going to name other genre, other series that maybe you like all the sequels better, Lawrence, but there are many sequels where they just make, and they just keep remaking the same film. And that's what they did for the second film. But then the subsequent films, they always tried to do something different. So now the Cornelius and his wife are Zira are going to go back. The main nice apes are going to escape the apocalypse by going back in time. And actually a number of the beats of them being sort of discovered by the humans in our then current day and shown off and being on TV. But now, ooh, we think they might eventually take over the world, so we're going to have to sterilize them, and you know, becomes a conflict. There's a lot of elements from the original story that show up in that film and in the subsequent film, and they're establishing Caesar and the ape do not kill ape, and like all these things that we like in the new films actually were established in these sequels. They are very imperfect and stupid. And this, the last one of them, I guess known to be the worst, the battle for the Planet of the Apes is just tedious, frankly. It's like I had to fast forward through scenes of just humans with a school bus and Jeeps shooting into the air. And the climax of that battle scene is all the apes are dead. They're lying on the ground and the humans roll in and they're like, Caesar, we're going to kill you. But wait, all the apes were just pretending to be dead and they all jump up and attack. I'm just saying this because I know you guys probably did not all sit through all these films. So now you don't have to. It is so funny, that moment. So I just like the fact that they kept generating new ideas. Maybe by the time of the TV series, it was just the same, and you don't want to worry about it. But I don't know. I think we can say that even for the Tim Burton one, like it took some swings. The end of that film, man.
Abe Lincoln, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. I guess the part of what's frustrating about when some of the films, like the old ones, if they're campy and silly, then great. But with the new ones, if they dissolve slightly into just like boring or confused spectacle, is that the world that the first movie sets up is so cool. And just the fact that the first movie sets up this thing, okay, we've got this many thousand year or like 1,000 years, right? Isn't it the year 3000 or something?
Mm-hmm.
We've got 1,000 years. And during that time, we can now tell the story of how humanity fell and apes rose. And there are so many awesome stories that you have access to tell in between those two points. And I guess my complaint is just why aren't they more interesting? Why aren't so many of them more interesting? Because it is cool. The idea is really cool. I love the idea of I didn't watch it, but Escape from the Planet of the Apes seems like one of the cooler and more interesting sequels in the original one, because that's one of the things that you can do. You can time travel back. What happens if people know that this is coming? That's a really cool question you can ask.
Mm-hmm.
That whole thing introduces a stupid time travel paradox that the only reason apes rose is because a talking ape from the future went to the past and bred. And that's why they ate. Like, no, but how did it happen the first time? I don't like time stuff like that.
Well, I want to know how the apes evolve into apes that wear clothing and they have quartz. Like, I want to know how they get there, you know?
That's coming.
That's what these 9 films are for. We're going to figure out how they finally get clothes.
Loincloths. First of all, when you're running and you're slapping against your leg, isn't that annoying? Let's wear loincloths. Wow. That's like the whole, that's going to be a whole next film.
That'll be the next
film. The whole film will be dedicated to loincloths. Got it.
Feminine hygiene products. Wouldn't it be nice?
Well, right. And then she, in this one, I noticed that she was wearing relatively nice clothes, May was, compared to the humans who couldn't talk. Like, what? How did that happen? Like, how did she get that tank top? Like, that was, like, I think I have that tank top. It's not fair.
She was hiding out in a Target for a while.
She's got some athleisure going on here.
Yeah, it's these different kinds of apocalypses. Like, if the world blows up, like, that's one thing. But in this new film, they don't make it, at least they don't state that there was any nuclear. It's just the plague.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of, like, all that stuff is still there, right? You could just go grab it. It's like The Walking Dead or whatever. It's just people are degraded and mostly dead so that you can't actually start up a factory again, but it's not that it all blew up.
Oh, I had a location question. I was listening to some podcast, like a reviewer talking about this movie, and they couldn't figure out in the most current film, they started out in LA, but where did they end up? Do they end up back in San Francisco, or are they like along like the mid? I thought maybe they were like midway between San Francisco and LA, because I didn't feel like they were walking that long. Like, how long would it take to walk from LA to San Francisco?
That's the other thing that they've got to do with all these movies, right? Is get them from San Francisco to New York, because there was that stupid fucking thing as well, where they had the doll. They introduced the doll They gave, that was in the last movie, one of the kids got a doll and it was like, oh, maybe this is, clearly it was supposed to be like, maybe this is the doll that they find at the end of the original movie. But no, it's on, it's 1,000 years too early and it's on the other side of the country. So
right,
stop it with that. But they do have to get to New York, and clearly, because obviously these movies are going to feel the need to explain everything about the original film, we're going to have to go to that cavern and see what happened and who dropped the doll there, and like whether Dr. Zaius was right. Did the human there have an ape master, or was it someone else? And probably we're going to, in one of these movies, watch the Statue of Liberty slide into a sandbank.
Of course.
You really think that they're trying to make this in the same canon universe as the first one? I don't think so.
Really? I think so.
No, I think they're trying to create their own thing.
Nah, I kind of feel like they're trying.
What's the point of doing
to,
such a good job with the Caesar stuff? Like, that's impressive. I didn't realize it was all harking back to the original canon, but that's, like, I like that. That's cool.
It's rewriting the original canon, because movie four of the original is Caesar. Yeah, and the last two movies of the original run are, that's the Caesar story, which they're just retelling. They're telling in a different way. So it's not supposed to, like, that these are all going to fit together like magic puzzle pieces. Okay. Like, I think we're just chucking the entire original. It's just that the ideas are from the original, so that maybe eventually they'll be able to make a new remake of the original Planet of the Apes. That's on this line of continuity.
I would still be prepared to bet cash money that we're going to watch the Statue of Liberty fall over at some point.
Yeah, I would too. Yeah,
I agree. It's an iconic shot. They have to do it.
They have to. They already quoted Charlton Heston.
Well, I got to say one other dumb thing about the second movie, about Beneath the Planet of the Apes, is that, of course, it's got to be, is this, they go underground to a ruin, and it's all the recognizable parts of everything, like the New York Stock Exchange sign and the Macy's sign or whatever. Like, so the person could run down a corridor of all these ruins of, like, your favorite cultural hits.
Big landmarks.
As if this is how things would collapse or you would have any recognition of... It's just playing with the stupid Statue of Liberty thing of, like, let's do more of that.
Oh, yeah. Why not? We all liked shopping at some point.
Because this would commit, if we were actually going to merge the two series, that they were eventually, at the end of the last movie, they were getting back to humans that are underground wearing stupid-looking skull caps. And they didn't explain how they could eventually read minds and, you know, have other psychic powers. Do we really think that that is coming in this current series, that somehow these humans that are in the bunkers trying to use their satellites to talk to their friends are going to get psychic powers?
No, I don't
have radiated faces.
I don't see that.
Psychic powers.
I would respect that choice if they made it.
I want to see, like, a merge of Fallout and Apes. Like, what do those underground silos look like? Are they getting their fruit? Are they getting their food groups down there? Like, their vitamin D? How are they getting their...
All got scurvy.
Yeah. They look pretty healthy.
They do.
But I was curious.
One thing I was seeing about that last original Planet of the Apes movies with the stupid Jeep scenes and stuff is like, oh, and these combat scenes directly influenced the Mad Max Road Warrior scenes. Mm. So that's what we're going to talk about next.
All right. So let's, do we recommend people to watch this film? The new one?
Yes.
The new one?
I do. It was enjoyable. I thought it was good. Not as good as the previous.
I think you could see it having not seen any of the others. I think maybe I heard, is Disney have something to do with it? Like, these are the Disney-fied versions of it. That there's Disney-fied Doctor Who and there's Disney-fied...
I think you're right.
Everything. Disney-fied Star Wars and, you know, that this is yet another
thing. I watched them all on Disney Plus, so yeah.
I think Disney owns a company that made these, so yeah, I think these are Disney now. Yeah.
Yes, you're right. Disney is producing these, or has been acquired. They acquired
so
them.
That's why we have to have... a teen ape who is not dealing so directly with the existential problem of, is violence a legitimate political tool, as Caesar was dealing with, but is just like, will I finally get my own bird?
Yeah.
Will I be free?
That maybe does explain why some of the themes they set up in the first half of this movie don't pay off in a particularly satisfying way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. People can watch this movie, but if you haven't seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, you should watch that instead.
Yeah, I watched the previous three.
Oh, and I was wrong. Matt Reeves didn't come in until Dawn.
Yeah.
The guy before. Right. So that original movie was made by some other guy. I don't know who the guy is. Yeah. But Matt Reeves came on and with Dawn and War. And that's the reason why Dawn is such a leap forward, because he came in and did that film.
We've got a little trilogy run of post-apocalyptic movies and IPs that we're talking about, because we did Fallout last time and we're going to talk mm-hmm. about Mad Max potentially next time. So what's the apocalyptic vision of Planet of the Apes compared to the other things that we're going to talk about? And like, what does Planet of the Apes and what does its enduring appeal say about how we're currently thinking about the apocalypse, perhaps? It's interesting because it is like the plot reason for the apocalypse is basically bog standard. Humans are stupid and they blew themselves up. But I think what you referred to earlier, Mark, is what makes Planet of the Apes potentially more interesting is that it does seem rooted in a fear that humanity's dominance on the planet is accidental and could be usurped by just some other kind of random species. Is that
big cats?
Yeah,
Thundercats. Cockroaches.
That's what the Thundercats remake should be.
I love Thundercats.
A planet where cats evolved from men.
I love Thundercats. Love that.
Because honestly, that doesn't seem like it would reverberate that much now compared to maybe in the 60s. Maybe I now think, like, I hadn't really thought about it before, maybe I do now think that it is a pretty heavily racialized, if not racist, kind of fear that Planet of the Apes is invoking, because we're still very, very comfortable now with apocalyptic stories involving like humanity's hubris and, you know, we're going to invent an AI that destroys everyone. We're going to let greedy corporations are going to start a nuclear apocalypse for the sake of furthering their profits, like we saw in Fallout. All of that stuff feels very, very kind of comfortable. But I don't know if I feel like the idea that we are threatened as a species by something else out there really has all that much currency anymore. Maybe I'm just wrong. I don't know. What do you guys think?
These are all themes that we've discussed ad nauseum, I mean, collectively before. You know, I mean, you could just kind of apply our fear of immigration. We could apply, you know, we could apply almost anything to the issues that they're raising. And I think that's why they can still continue to modernize them. I think that's why they continue to still resonate with audiences more than 50 years later.
I mean, but if we were attaching the fear of immigration and whatnot to this, wouldn't there be a strain of conservatism, Trumpianism mm-hmm. through these films? And I didn't detect that. Like, did you detect a conservative strain through the film that's like animating the characters? I didn't detect it. It may be there, but I didn't really detect that. I genuinely don't know why this remains so popular, because there is a fear, legitimate fear, that maybe we're not the top dog, and we're not divinely placed to be the head of the world. And so we don't have to be the head. And so that's the reason why apes can take over. I can see that fear being there, but I don't sense that being the motivating kind of animus behind these films. Like, that's not what they're trying to kind of get at. I genuinely don't know what they're trying to get at.
But there's also a is history doomed to repeat kind of thing that in that terrible film Battle for the Planet of the Apes, there's explicit that one of the bad ape, who is not Koa, he's Aldo, but he has inadvertently murdered Caesar's son. And ape does not kill ape, like, is an explicit them. Wait a second, but ape killed ape. Ape killed ape. And so one of the humans, I think, says, oh, the apes just became man, you know, because they finally, you know, that was the one thing to distinguish them. And so we're going to sort of run into this same, maybe it's not really a question. Of course, history is going to repeat itself. Of course, if you have any intelligent people, it's not just that humans are evil. It's that apes, insofar as they lose their innocence, they will be evil in exactly the same ways.
Yes, maybe it's got more to do with like Animal Farm than a kind of traditional post-apocalyptic story. Because yeah, especially the later movies, the thematic focus of the film seems to be like, okay, we're going to watch these apes develop and we're going to see whether they make the same kinds of mistakes that humanity makes, and we get to see, or like, oh, this is how religion is corrupting the new ape civilization, or this is how like political factionalism is corrupting the new ape civilization. And it's changed. It's probably fine. It's just interesting that it's changed because the first movie was so very much about the fear of replacement or the fear of civilization failing. And maybe the new movies are just more about an exploration of the reasons why human civilization might be doomed to fail because mm-hmm. the monkeys aren't going to do a better job.
Mm-hmm. And there's also the technology that's useful to the apes in the in Kingdom is all very specific to them, like what they need. Like they're falconers, you know, they raise these birds and everything that they have created in their society is for the good of society, for the good of the community. And once you bring in technology that, you know, again, that's human created, it's somehow going to destroy, they're going to start destroying each other. So I also think it's commenting on that kind of technology once again.
We haven't mentioned the story yet, which I didn't read, but Mark, you told us all to read it. So I feel like it's important that we discuss it.
I didn't read the book.
What was it like? How is it different to the movie? I did read that the twist is an invention of the movie, which is interesting.
Right. It actually is another planet.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And it has a lot of the elements, like I was saying, that are in the Escape from the Planet of the Apes, just in reverse, that Escape from the Planet of the Apes is the apes have gone back in time or in human society. So here it's sort of the same thing where the humans are, oh, the talking humans? That's crazy. Let's put you on TV. But then after a while, like, you know, you kind of undermine the whole political order by being here. Maybe we don't like you after all. And he escapes off the planet with his like Aurora. What's her name? what's the Xena? What is the woman name that
from the first one
that they use in the movie, in all the movies?
Nova.
Nova. Oh,
Nova. Yeah. Yes. So, and he comes up with that name like, oh, you just are, actually, I don't remember if maybe I'm confusing it with the original movie, like where Charlton Heston is just like, oh, your eyes shine, so I will call you Nova. anyway, but he's like, has a kid that the apes are afraid of their civilization becoming tainted. So he has to just get on his spaceship with his wife and kid, his non-talking wife. Maybe he's taught her to talk. I don't even remember the details at this point. But anyway, it's a very different tone, but it has the same like, this is upside down. The apes are in charge and the humans are enslaved. Like, yeah, it has that main thing to get, but otherwise it's quite different in a lot of the beats.
Reminds me of a Star Trek The Next Generation episode, First Contact, where they do that, like they accidentally wind up on a planet which doesn't believe in aliens, and then they discover that they're there and it upends all of their political. So maybe Star Trek is probably ripping off the Planet of the Apes story there.
There's an interesting, you know, so he's the talking man in the original story is in a cage initially with Nova and they have a lot of sex. But then after they recognize, after apes recognize, oh, you should actually become a scientist. You're a different type of creature. Then they're like, can he still keep having sex with the non-talking animal? Like, we haven't really talked about the whole bestiality angle on this whole.
Yeah, I wish that was something that they interrogated a bit more in the original movie, because I didn't enjoy watching Charlton Heston cuddle up to that poor woman.
He did seem like he was taking advantage of her.
I agree.
That's why that notion of, oh, this little girl who has agency and is helping the apes in War of the Planet of the Apes is going to somehow grow up into this boy toy piece of nonsense, piece of 60s sexist nonsense from the original movie. Like, that fucking better not be canon. Like, they just better get rid of this whole strain from the original. Like,
not a good look.
Anyway, I think all of this stuff, it was worth my time to go back to. There's no way I would have done it if I did not have this podcast. But I even enjoyed the Tim Burton film. It's just so silly.
I quite enjoyed the Tim Burton film. I thought the Tim Burton film, I mean, it's silly, but it was fun silly. Like Tim Burton made it very campy. And I enjoyed that. And then the twist at the end that it was, what was his name? Like Abraham Lincoln or Ape Lincoln? I don't even know what the twist, what the name was. It was
so
fun.
I think here's the thing. In the Tim Burton film, it actually is another planet, just like the original story. Mm-hmm. And then he discovers not that this planet, you know, well, how did, but still the reason that they're talking apes is because his own spaceship, which had a bunch of apes on it that they would use to like, oh, let's send the chimp into the dangerous situation, that somehow that those chimps rebelled. I don't know how they, I guess there were gorillas and orangutans too. They must have, mm-hmm. must have been, and created that civilization by killing the humans, you know, that were his shipmates. Mm-hmm. And so he, it still discovers that humans are ultimately responsible. Why they evolved like this? You know, it's, there are a lot of unanswered questions about it, but it's the relativity thing that he was put forward in time, but his ship that was coming after him was put forward much less in time. So it provided the foundation. So there's just all these. So then he, oh, I found the same wormhole. I can take this this other ship that the chimp was flying, and I can somehow go back in time. But he goes, I guess, too far. Or anyway, he's doing some sort of magic. So it's though his ship created the historical foundations for this other planet. Well, he, or sorry, it is implied then that the bad ape from the, you know, that he's been fighting this whole time on the Planet of the Apes somehow did survive their encounter and likewise, like took some of their space technology and went back and remade Earth's past.
That sounds incredible.
That's the most sense that I could make of it. That, and I think I just got that off a video from what I watched about it. I didn't figure that out by myself. It was just a bizarre thing that happens that somehow he's back on Earth, but yet it's an Earth where apes are in charge. And it's not even apes living in caves. It's apes that have exactly the same kind of police cars that we have built all the same monuments, but just with ape heads.
Huh. It's very campy.
It feels like it really wants to make sense as canon, as a whole unified story. And maybe I just need to give up on that.
Well, and that was going to be the first in a series, that Tim Burton thing. And it was financially successful. And for whatever reason, they decided not to go ahead with it.
Just scrap it.
Yep. I was sort of had a question in my mind is, are these new films actually continuing the Tim Burton thing? And no, I think they've just, that didn't happen. But it's not, interestingly, it's not Taylor in the, you know, that's not the character name.
Right.
So the Tim Burton thing could have happened, you know, a few hundred years before. Mm-hmm. The Charlton Heston thing is at least how I was approaching it at the time. Now I don't care.
It could just be how they fit together. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and like all of, maybe the wider story of the Planet of the Apes universe is that there are many planets of the, for every for every overreaching civilization, there is a Planet of the Apes that is its dark mirror.
There we go.
I think I've solved it.
All right. Any final words of wisdom from anyone?
I think anyone listening to this is going to be very confused. They're going to be very confused.
Really? I don't think so. I think people who are listening to this probably are.
I think Planet of the Apes is just a very confusing. And it's not because of us. It's just that Planet of the Apes is confusing. It's a very confusing franchise.
Yeah.
It's a tough. Yeah, that's a tough needle to thread.
Watch Planet of the Apes movies and don't feel bad about fast-forwarding through the bits with no apes in. You're not man. The apes are the only good bit.
If you're wondering how the time travel works and other science facts, just repeat for yourself. It's just a silly movie series. I should really just relax. Repurposing the Mystery Science Theater. The theme song. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Get more Pretty Much Pop at prettymuchpop.com. Get bonus content for every episode at patreon.com/prettymuchpop. Pretty Much Pop is part of the Partially Examined Life podcast network, and it's also presented by openculture.com.